All right, if you got a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on, follow along on screen in your outline, or use the Central Church app. 1 Samuel 17, verse 17 is where we're going to start today. That will be in 1 Samuel 17. This is week number 4 of our series called More Than Conquerors. And this series has been speaking to us on having the power to overcome. And we've talked about this for weeks, that the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside each and every one of us. And that means that nothing the enemy can throw at us. The Bible says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So nothing the enemy can throw at us it can keep us down unless we allow it to keep us down. We've got maybe 2 more weeks in this series. Next week, we're going to talk about the power of connecting church. We've done the power of a praying church. We've done the power of a giving church. And we're going to talk about the power of a connecting church next week, and then the week after that we'll probably finish up the series, or we're going to start a relationship series, which a relationship series in this church always means for Ryan. It's always like God is like testing me, like, are you really going to practice what you preach, big boy? And so, but I think that's the direction that we're going to go. And so let me set today's message up like this. The past several weeks, and even that video right there, have been a bit nostalgic for me because Chloe, my daughter, is headed off to grad school. And I remember in a video like that years ago where she was a part of VBX. She was one of the students in VBX, and now she's one of the leaders, and she had a very important role in VBX this week. And it's crazy for me to think about, because I remember her being born like it was yesterday. I remember holding her in one hand, and I remember people saying, "Don't blink. It happens so fast the way they grow up." And I would get mad when people would say that. Then I blinked, and she's starting grad school, and softball is over, and all these things that have connected us over the years are all now at a whole different chapter of life. And so I started thinking about times when I used to take her on daddy dates. I used to do this thing every Saturday where I would get her up and I would take her on a daddy day date. And it was weird at first. If you're a dad, it's a little weird when you take your kid out for the first time. You don't know what to do with the kid because kids just stare at you and you can't have a conversation. And so I would always take her to, at the time, it was my favorite restaurant, Chick-fil-A. And she couldn't eat Chick-fil-A's food. She had to eat her food. So I'd feed her her food. And then she would look at my food. She would look at my Chick-fil-A and she would drool. I would eat and she would drool. And it's kind of cool because I'm guessing in another 10, 15, 20 years, she'll roll me into Chick-fil-A and she'll eat her food and I'll drool. Have a bib on and everything. And I guess I'm fine with that. I'll blink and it'll happen, right? So I was just kind of thinking about some of the dates we've had. And years and years and years ago, she was probably like 2 years old. We went to this area that we called the Duck Pond. We had an area, it probably had a different name, but it was a pond and there were some ducks. And we called it the Duck Pond. And we went to the Duck Pond to feed ducks. I like ducks. Anybody else? Ducks make me happy. Y'all remember the season of Friends that had the duck in it? That's my favorite season because of the duck. So anyway, we went to the store to get some bread, and we went to the duck pond. Now, after the first service, somebody told me that you don't feed ducks bread anymore because it, like, blows them up. I'm going to go get all kinds of bread today. I want to see a duck blow up. I like ducks. But wouldn't that be cool to see? Like, no, it doesn't make them blow up. If it did, that'd be on YouTube. Anybody ever seen a YouTube blow up duck? No. So shut up with the bread thing, right? Just be happy and feed the ducks. So we're feeding ducks and everything's great. We're having fun. But they also had geese at the duck pond. Now, let me tell you how I feel about a goose. I would rather have a cat than a goose. So you're like, oh, it just got real. Yeah. I hate geese. And this is one of them. This is goose comes up, and geese, they're mean, right? They're possessed by Satan. They are mean. So this goose comes up, it spreads its wings all out, and it hisses at the ducks, and the ducks ran off. And Chloe got confused, and she looked at me, and I'm like, I don't know, baby. I saw that happen at a Baptist church one time at a deacon's meeting. I'm like trying to explain to her what's going on, and she didn't get it. So everything was good. The ducks are swimming away, and it was all fine. And then the goose turned and looked at me. Now, I'd never been in this situation before, and my gun was in the truck. So the goose spread its wings even bigger and hissed. At that moment, I wish I could tell you I was strong, that I was a man, that I manned up. Nope. I freaked out because the goose started running at me. I scooped up Chloe and we started running in the opposite direction. I'm so thankful nobody had a little camera phone out there. It was a camera in me. I didn't know how long I ran from the goose. I really don't. I'm running from the goose. I have no idea how long, but then it hit me at some point. I stopped because this thought ran through my mind. I'm running from a freaking goose. And so I turned around and he stopped and I stared at him and I said, in the name of Jesus, I will punt you. And he backed away. Listen, animal lover, I'm glad you're here today. I would have punted that goose. I love animals. You would have loved the ark I would have had on that punt, on that goose. Like, now, I've never gotten over that. I've never forgotten that story. It absolutely happened. It's honest God, true story, and I've never forgotten it. And the reason why is this. I was running from something that had no power over me. I was running from something that had no authority over me. I was running from something that I never should have been running from in the first place. And the reason I open with that today is because there's some people in this room or maybe watching online, and you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, but you're running from something you have no business running from. You have authority over the enemy. You have power over the enemy. You have victory over the enemy. But unfortunately, sometimes as Christians, we get so freaked out by what the enemy says and how big the enemy seems that we run from him rather than taking authority over him. And today, I want you, when you walk out of this place, I want you to know that victory isn't something we need to ask Jesus for. I want you to know that victory is something that we have. Listen, we're running around, we're asking Jesus for victory, and he's like, cross, an empty tomb. What else do you want? And so today we're going to look at, I would say, one of the top three Bible stories in the scriptures. We're going to talk about David and Goliath. How many of you know about David and Goliath? Yeah, you know most of the story, but part of the end of the story, you probably don't know because we don't get to this part. But David and Goliath starts out with the Philistines and the Israelites. Goliath is a Philistine and he's from Gath, and David is an Israelite, and they're doing battle in the Valley of Elah. Now that's important because the Valley of Elah was a major trade route in Israel at the time. So whoever controlled the trade route essentially controlled the economy. So there's so much going on in this text. And the Philistines and the Israelites did what a lot of ancient armies would do. They would pick out their best warrior and the other team would pick out their best warrior and they would go head to head. And whichever one killed the other side would say, okay, we'll submit to you for a year. It was a way to spare all the men from dying, basically. So that's what the Philistines and the Israelites had agreed to when we come to this story. But by the way, be very careful about the agreements you make with the enemy. Like, I'm serious. Be very careful about the agreements you make with the enemy. Let me give you an example. When you walk around and you say, oh, I'm so stupid, you just made an agreement with the enemy. Because God would never call you that. I'm so dumb. You just made an agreement with the enemy because God would never say that to you. Be very careful about making agreements with the enemy. So we're going to pick up the story, and I got 3 points because I've told you all before, I've got a lot of Baptists in me. One of these days, maybe I'll go charismatic and we'll get 7 points. But anyway, here we go. 3 points. Number one is this. Walking with Jesus is a journey. Walking with Jesus really is a journey. One of the things I've had to learn in walking with Jesus over the past 20 plus years is that spiritual growth is a process. All of us in this room or watching online are at different places in our journey with Jesus Christ. Understand that. All of us in here, we're all going the same direction. We all have got the same goal, be Christ-like, but we're all in different spots along the journey. A lot of times what happens is, this is why Christians fight. Somebody will be 3 steps ahead right here, and we'll look back on somebody who's 3 steps back over here, and we'll start judging them for being 3 steps back, not understanding it's only by the grace of God that you're 3 steps ahead. I mean, if they were doing it on their own, they'd be flat on their face, passed out. So we're all on a journey with Jesus Christ. The problem is, some of us want a breakthrough immediately. We want God to do something for us, and we want him to do something for us right now. And when God doesn't do it for us right now, we get angry. In other words, as followers of Jesus Christ, we're more interested in downloads than watching something grow. Let me explain that a little bit. I was on my phone the other day, and I thought about a song. I wanted to hear that song we sing in here, Hard Fought Hallelujah. I wanted to hear it for some reason. I don't know why. And so I just pulled it up on my phone. Pulled it up. Bam. Within 10 seconds, I'm listening to the song. Like listening to the song, under 10 seconds. It hasn't always been that way. 30 years ago, if I wanted to listen to a song, you couldn't get it on the phone. I had to get my mom or my dad to put me in a car and drive me to Canton, Ohio and take me to the Quonset Hut to buy a record. And there you had to go in, you had to go through all the 45s. You know what 45s are? Whose language am I preaching right now? Yeah, there we go. You had to get it. Then you had to bring it back home. Then you had to put it on a record player and then beg God that the needle would work. Amen? You had to work to get a song. Today we just download it. Every reference to spiritual growth in the scriptures is agricultural. Things grow, but they grow slowly. There's a process. David, we're about to meet him, is in a process. He's on a journey. And in 1 Samuel 16, he gets anointed king. You think your teenager's got an attitude? Can you imagine your 15, 16-year-old son getting anointed king of a nation? You think you got an ego to maintain? So David's anointed king, and he wasn't like the popular choice. Nobody picked him. Like when Samuel came to anoint someone king, he went to all of his brothers, and they weren't the right person. And his dad, Jesse, had to say, well, my son David is down with the sheep. David wasn't even on the radar. In other words, God is always looking for the person that nobody else is looking for. So he gets anointed king and he's hanging out with the sheep, and that's what's going on in 1 Samuel 17. Look at this. One day Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers. Now I'm guessing, but I can't prove this, but I'm guessing at this point there was the classic teenage eye roll. Your kid ever done that to you? And you've got to say, you roll your eyes one more time, I will roll your head across the floor, little boy. Hypothetically, right? Carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to the captain. I always laugh when I read cuts of cheese. It's just the middle school boy in me. I just can't get past it. It just cracks me up. So he's got bread and cheese. Bread and cheese, bread and cheese. They got like pizza and quesadilla, right? And so give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they are doing. Verse 19. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army at the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. They're leaving with shouts and battle cries. They're getting ready. They're amped up. They're excited. And there's so much in this, which is another story for another time. But here's what's crazy here. Jesse could have come to David and said, David, I need you to take some bread and cheese to your brothers who are fighting with King Saul. And David could have said, sorry, Dad. I don't know if you forgot, but I'm anointed. I'm the king. I ain't your pizza delivery boy. And so you know what, Dad? Why don't you take the bread and cheese and I'm just going to sit here because I'm the king. No. David could have pulled that. But David, in his humble, contrite spirit, he was willing to take the next step in his journey. He wasn't like, I'm in King's College or I'm in King's University or I've been reading some books. He was like, you know what? Take some bread and cheese to my brothers? Absolutely. It was an opportunity for him to take his next step. And in the opportunity and in the humility of David taking his next step, it brought him to the place where God was ultimately going to bring about the breakthrough in his life. See, sometimes we think we're stepping into average, ordinary, everyday opportunities. But I'm telling you, our consistency over time in our spiritual walk with God pays off. And one day you'll wake up and you'll think you're just going to read your Bible. Or one day you'll kneel down and you think you're just going to pray. Or one day you'll walk in these doors and you'll think you're just coming to church. In fact, somebody might have walked in this place today and you thought you were simply coming to church. But actually, today's the day you're going to receive Christ. Today's the day you're going to come back to Jesus. Today's the day you're going to confess a sin you've been wrestling with. Today's the day the chains of addiction or depression or anxiety will begin to break on you. Because when you're willing to take your next step and do what God tells us to do, he's always setting us up, not for a breakdown, but a breakthrough. Amen? And that leads to point number two. There will be obstacles. There will be obstacles. There are always going to be obstacles. Do me a favor. Think about something for a second. Get this image in your mind. What is the scariest movie you've ever seen? Scariest movie you've ever seen. Got that image in your mind? Now tell your neighbor. Don't discuss the plot line. Just tell your neighbor the scariest movie you've ever seen. Scariest movie I've ever seen is Salem's Lot. I saw it when it was first released on VHS. See how old school I'm going today? VHS and 45s. Anyway, watched it at a friend's house. And then I had to walk home in the dark. Now, in order to get to my house, I had to walk past this little wooded area. And we were convinced that a witch lived in the house. And so this night, I get by the woods, heard a noise, and I just froze. and I could not move. And I thought for sure the witch was going to come out and get me. Finally, somehow, I was able to turn around. I ran in the opposite direction as fast as I could back to my friend's house. And I made his mom drive me home. And she made fun of me the entire way home. But it was an obstacle because of something that I saw that affected me. Just like I saw that goose with his arms out, it affected me. I heard that goose hiss at me and it affected me. Some of us, we see the obstacle. And the obstacle is the enemy, and his voice and his size will affect us if we take our eyes off of Jesus and we put them on the goose. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Verse 21, we're told, soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. Now here's what's crazy. The army of Israel were the children of God. God told them, go into the land, take it. Nobody can stand up against you. Nobody can defeat you. But they forgot the promises of God. They took their eyes off of God and they put them on Goliath. Now to be fair, Goliath was somewhere between 7.5 and 9.5 feet tall. He's a big boy. And so everybody's looking at the size of the enemy, and they forgot the promises of God that they would have victory over the enemy. In fact, about the Philistines specifically, God told them very specifically, you can beat them. But they forgot about the promises and presences of God and got so focused on the enemy and listening to his voice. And there are people in this room, including me, that if we're not careful, will buy into the lies of the enemy. You're not enough. That's a lie of the enemy. You'll always be that way. That's a lie of the enemy. Your mama was that way. Your dad was like that. You're just like your mom. You're just like your dad. You're never going to, you know what? This is a generational curse. There's so much about generational curses right now. Come at me with that. I will spiritually throat punch you in a heartbeat. We'll talk about it another time. I'll hit it right now. Just very, very, very quickly so you know where I stand. You believe in generational curses? Yes, but the Bible says, listen, the Bible talks about it, but the Bible also talks about personal responsibility. And if you want to sit around in your dysfunction and blame your mommy and your daddy, you go ahead, but you'll die in that dysfunction. And I pray that your kids don't learn from you what you learn from your parents. Because at the end of the day, we've got to accept personal responsibility for our spiritual walk with Jesus, all right? Let's keep going. Verse 24. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. So here's what's funny. Earlier in the text, they're shouting the battle cry. Yeah, let's go. Come get some. And then they get to the battle and they see the size of the enemy and they hear him and they take off running. But that happens to us too. Isn't it funny how the enemy can take the smallest thing and get us sidetracked? I was on TikTok the other night because there's a lot of spiritual wisdom on TikTok. And something came on and I was watching it and I can't remember if they were talking about it or it was just playing in the background, but it was something that had to do with Milli Vanilli. Some of you are thinking, who's Milli Vanilli? Nobody knows. I don't even know if Google knows. You might be able to Google it. I don't know. But in the background playing was their song, Blame It on the Rain. Remember that? And what's funny is I was in a really good place, but Blame It on the Rain was playing and it took me back to spring break. South Padre Island, when I was in college and did not know Jesus. And listen, the guilt and the shame that got all up in my head, and for a few minutes I had to put my phone down. I was like, man, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I was at that place. I can't believe I was that person. And isn't it funny? You can be having the best day and the enemy will take something from your past and pull you down. It's an obstacle. Some people, it's not your past, it's your present. It's not what you did 10 years ago, it's what you did this week. And you feel stuck spiritually. I know what it's like to feel stuck spiritually. Heck, I've been stuck spiritually before many times. You don't know what to do. You pray, and the enemy is shouting at you. And listen, he's not going to stop shouting, especially if he's getting through, because he is big and he is huge. Listen, I'm not telling you your problem that you're facing isn't huge. I'm just telling you that we have a God that's bigger than the problem we're facing. Amen? So if you're facing an obstacle today, here's what you need to know. Here's what you really need to know. Every time in the scriptures you see an obstacle, Jesus turned it into an opportunity. Storm, opportunity to speak peace. Dead person, opportunity to bring them back to life. Sick person, opportunity to make them well. Jesus always turns obstacles into opportunity. And so finally, all these guys with swords and spears and shields who are equipped to fight didn't want to go fight. And David's like, well, I ain't got a sword. I ain't got a spear. You know what I got? I got a sling and a rock. So David goes to Saul in verse 32. Don't worry about the Philistines, David told Saul. I'll go fight him. Now you can read through this. I'll just summarize it. At first, David's like, boy, you're crazy. But then Saul looked around and he didn't have any other options. So he sent David out, which is where we get to point number three. There is victory in Christ. There is always victory in Christ. Now, this next story might make you a little mad with a statement that I make, but just let me finish the story before you get mad. Years and years and years ago, I was at lunch with some friends, and we were sitting outside at a big table, and I looked over to my left, and there's another big table, and all these people are sitting around, and they're laughing, they're having a good time. We were having fun and everything, but I looked over to the other table, and they had one of these little baby carriers. You know the little baby carriers? They look so comfortable. How many wish they made those for adults? I think that would be kind of cool. Carry me in, Jay. Well, anyway, I look over in the baby carrier and saw the ugliest baby I have ever seen in my life. Y'all, I'm not kidding. I'm not even being funny. I know people say there's no such thing as ugly babies. Yes, there are. You know there are. You know, like some of them, like it's a face only a mother could love. Darn straight. Anyway, that baby was ugly. And I did like one of these, like, oh my gosh. And I'm just staring. And I asked one of my friends, I was like, hey man, do me a favor. I said, don't make this obvious, but I got a question. I said, I just need some help because my eyesight ain't that good. I said, is that baby over there ugly? He leans forward, looks around me. He looks back. He's like, dear God. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm trying to figure out how I can get a picture of that baby without the mom seeing me get a picture of the baby because I got to show everybody. And as I'm doing that, the mom reaches down, true story, picks up the baby, puts the baby on the table and starts changing the diaper. And I'm like, but then I realized that whatever was coming out of the baby probably looked better than the baby. I mean, dude, the baby was ugly. So at this point, I'm staring. I'm like locked in, man. I am staring at the baby. I couldn't look away. I could not look away. It was like the biggest train wreck I'd ever seen in my life. And the mom looked at me. She caught me. And then she looked at like her husband and they looked at me and then they both started busting out laughing and they said, it's not real. I said, huh? They said, we're in high school. This is our project in one of our classes where you got to take care of a baby for a week. You got to change the diaper and everything. They said, it's not real. I went, oh, thank God, because that baby's ugly. And they said, oh, we know it's ugly. That's one of the reasons why we chose it. I've never forgotten that. Here's the reason I tell that story. Some of us are freaked out by something that the enemy is doing in our life, but it's not real. His voice is real, but that doesn't have authority over you. His size is real, but that doesn't have authority over you. If you are in Christ, the Bible says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We have victory over the enemy. I don't care how big he looks. I don't care how big he is, how long we've struggled. We have victory. And so this is the good part. I know this is the good part because I've preached this a couple times now. This is the good part. Verse 41, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer ahead of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw he was a little more than a boy glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. I get that. See somebody handsome, you despise him. Hate you, Jay. Watch this, verse 43. I'm just kidding. You don't look that good. Cool. I don't remember where I'm at. Oh, verse 43. He said to David, am I a dog that you come at me with a stick? See, a shepherd would have a stick, a staff everywhere he went. He would have this staff and it had a little hook on it so you could, like, if the sheep were getting away, you could just bring the sheep back. He pulled it back in. And that reminds me of how many times God has probably had to pull me back in. He's the good shepherd, right? He's constantly pulling us back. But sometimes you get into like a rocky terrain and as a shepherd, you would have two sticks. You would have one for balance and one to pull the sheep or whatever. And so he had a couple of sticks. And he's walking to the battle lines. And Goliath is like, dang, boy, you're going to come at me with sticks? He's like, you're coming at me with sticks. I'm a warrior. I'm a fighter. I've got somebody carrying my shield and my sword. And you're going to come at me with sticks to a sword fight? This isn't even going to be a problem. David didn't have a sword. Goliath had a humongous sword. So Goliath is focused on the sticks, right? Don't miss that. And watch verse 44. Come over here. And I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Now, so far, that had been enough for Goliath to make other people run away. But see, David wasn't intimidated by the voice of the enemy because he knew he was anointed by God. Somebody needs to hear this today. You're anointed and highly favored by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's not just for a certain few people. If you are in Christ, you are as anointed as David was. That's who you are. Verse 48, as Goliath moved closer to the attack, David quickly ran out to meet him, because that's what we do when we're confident in Christ. We don't run away from the enemy. We run towards the enemy. Reaching into a shepherd bag, taking out a, what's that next word say? A stone. Taking out a stone, he hurled it with a sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. Knocked him out. Here's what's crazy. It didn't kill him. I know you probably thought forever that it killed him. It just knocked him out. Well, how do we know he didn't die? I'm glad you asked, because this is one of the coolest verses, cool sections in the Bible, verse 50. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Had no sword. Goliath had the sword. David had no sword. But no weapon formed against you will prosper, right? From Isaiah. Didn't have a sword. Goliath had the sword. So what did David do? Verse 51. So then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head, because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, this is the point that I want to make. This whole message was to make this point right here. This was actually, I wrote this message way back at Easter time. This was going to be my Easter message, because this is so cool. Don't miss this. Goliath was focused on the sticks, but David used a stone to get to victory. Pastor Ryan, what does that mean for me today? I'm glad you asked. 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus, and he faced down an enemy named Satan. And it wasn't in the Valley of Elah, but it started in the Garden of Gethsemane. And eventually Jesus is carrying a cross to Golgotha, and Satan is like, oh, you're going to come at me with sticks? You're going to come at me with sticks. See, everything in the Bible points to Jesus. You're going to come at me with sticks? I know how to use sticks. I can almost hear Satan saying, I know how to use sticks. I've been killing people on sticks for years. So hold on to yours. I'm going to use those sticks. I'm going to murder you on those sticks, and I'll be done with you. And he did. He put Jesus on the sticks, and he killed him. But 3 days later, Matthew tells us in chapter 28, verse 1, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the what? The stone, and sat on it. See, Satan was looking at the sticks, but he didn't count on the stone. And because the stone was rolled away, Jesus walked out in victory. And because Jesus walked out in victory, we can walk out in victory today. No matter what we're facing, no matter what is coming against us. Like I said earlier, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If you have Jesus living in you, Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, the Spirit of God, the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you, lives in me, lives in you, lives in us. So if that is true, what is our excuse? We have no excuse. We can walk in victory even when we don't feel it. We've got to decide, I'm victorious. We've got to declare, I'm a child of God. I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God, he gives us victory. Everybody say victory. Victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody here today needs to know you are victorious. You're walking with Jesus. You're filled with the Spirit. And you don't have to hold your head down, because Jesus knows what you've done. He's paid for our sin on the cross. He got up from the grave. He's alive today. He's alive in us. And because that is true, we win. We win. We win. We are victorious. The stone rolled away and the empty tomb gives us power to celebrate and walk in the victory and be more than conquerors. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you today. Jesus, thank you that we have victory. Right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you know what? Spiritually, you feel like you've been defeated. You've listened to the enemy's voice. You've looked at the size of your problem. God didn't bring you here today to scold you. He brought you here today to remind you that you're his child and he loves you. He's for you and he's with you. And he has a greater plan for you that's greater than anything you could ever imagine. It's immeasurably more. It's exceedingly, abundantly more is what his word says. So if you're here today and you feel like you've been walking in defeat, right now, right where you sit, if you're a follower of Jesus, understand Jesus lives in you. Just thank God for the victory. Just right now, right where you sit, just say, thank you, Jesus, for the victory. Even if you don't feel victorious, sometimes you got to tell yourself. Sometimes we got to be reminded of this. Hey, I'm going through it. I don't see the end of it, but thank you, Jesus, for the victory. I'm trusting you for the victory. I'm believing in you for the victory. I have faith in the victory. Maybe you're here today and you've never prayed to receive Jesus. You've never asked Jesus to come into your life. And you can't have victory without Christ. It's impossible. And so today you walked in and you know today's the day you need to pray to receive Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to pray and ask Jesus to come into your life. But I'm going to ask you to pray out loud. But you don't have to do it alone. Because now we do this all together as a church family. We're going to pray together with you so you understand that you don't ever have to step into a relationship with Jesus alone. He says he'll never leave you or forsake you, and we promise you as a church family, we will walk alongside of you, we will help you, we will be there with you. We're all going to pray together out loud in one voice, but if you need to pray to receive Jesus, just pray this out loud and mean it from your heart. And so, Central Family, let's all pray together. Let's just say, Jesus Christ, I know I'm a sinner and need forgiveness. I need you as my Savior. I believe you died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for my sins. Right now, I confess you as Lord. Come into my life and take over. Be my Lord, be my God, be my King, be my Savior. All of me for all of you. Thank you for dying for me, and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, heads bowed and eyes closed, we would love to know. As we close out in song, as Pastor Mike leads us in this song, singing about victory that we're all going to stand and sing about, understanding that we have victory, you can go to the back corners of the sanctuary and let one of our prayer team people know that you just prayed to receive Jesus Christ, that you literally crossed over from death to life, that you made the best decision ever in your life. And they'll celebrate with you, and they'll pray with you, and they'll pray for you, and they'll talk to you about next steps and talk to you about how to get a study Bible. Maybe you're here, and maybe as you sit there and I ask you to thank God for the victory, maybe you're having a hard time doing that. Maybe the struggle is just way too real and way too raw in your life right now, and you need somebody to pray with you and for you. Our prayer team will be back there to pray with you and for you and partner with you too. Because we understand you can't do life alone. And so don't try it. Don't try it. Use this time to allow God to move in your life and his Holy Spirit to work in you. And so, Father, I pray right now as we walk out these doors, we would walk out of this place knowing, number one, that we spent time with you today. And number two, we have victory over anything the world throws at us, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We ask now, God, that you move in this place over these next several moments in ways only you can, in the hearts of your people, through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.